Hey, bid you welcome again. Express appreciation for your being here. I'll try to talk loud enough to hear. I'll have to take a look at that during the week. But appreciate your attendance very much. Again, there's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. Your notes will just include part of the text, but really it's the whole of the 14 verses that was read to us. Titled is the seven benefits that are found only in Christ Jesus. The phrase in Christ or in Him is listed more than seven times in that text. But we're just going to look at the seven that I have noted for you. So that's the emphasis of our sermon this morning. What's the value of being in Christ? What's the reward, if you will? Sometimes people want to know, what's the motivation to become a Christian? Or what's the incentive? Well, Paul, in this letter to the church at Ephesus, reminds these brethren the benefits or the blessings of that relationship of being in Christ. Paul's letter is addressed to the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful, and there's the first phrase, in Christ. Then the phrase, the saints and the faithful, are the same group of people, as reference to those who are Christians, the church in Ephesus, and they are described as already being in Christ. But the question comes up just by from that opening verse, how did they get into that relationship? What was it, what procedure, what process brought them from being outside of Christ to being in Christ? The story goes back to their conversion in Paul's third missionary journey. That journey and the record of the conversion of these brethren at Ephesus is recorded in Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And here's the story. Acts 19, beginning at verse 1. It says, "And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus." So on his journey, he's left Corinth, and I'm in Ephesus now. "Finding some disciples," that's a good thing, "found some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" Well, they said, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So then he, Paul, said to them, "Then into what were you baptized?" Well, they said, "John's baptism." Well, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, but he said to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, Christ Jesus." So we have a problem. Paul finds some disciples at Ephesus on his journey. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. "No, I haven't heard about that." "Well, what were you baptized?" "Well, John's baptism, the forerunner of Jesus." So then Paul reminds them, well, John did indeed baptize with a baptism of repentance. But he also said to the people, you need to believe on him who would come after. And Paul identified that one that would come after, that is, upon Christ Jesus. Then the story continues. "When they heard that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Not John's baptism. Did that. But now that they have some new information, when they heard, we don't have all the story of what Paul has said, then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul, in writing to Christians in Galatia, adds to our understanding of this. In Galatians 3, verse 27, says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So what happened at Ephesus happened in Galatia, and that explains how these disciples became Christians. They were baptized into Christ Jesus after they heard the message of truth. So now that our lesson lists at least seven benefits of being in Christ, there's more that are listed throughout the letters that Paul writes to the churches. Let's focus on these this morning. Number one, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's right. Blessed be God. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I tried to highlight in your notes that phrase, "in Christ." Could have underlined all the blessings, but I especially want to note that phrase, "in Christ." In Matthew, I'm putting your notes too, that God blesses a world of people whether you're in or out of Christ. He blessed us, for example, in Matthew 5, verse 47, or verse 45, it says, "He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust." So when the sun comes up, the sun doesn't look down on this world of people and say, "I'm only going to shine on the good people." No, it doesn't do that. God causes the sun to shine on the good and the bad. He causes the sun to shine on everybody. We have a world of people that are blessed by God. The problem is, some people think because they have been blessed by God with some earthly provisions that God blesses them spiritually, and that's a wrong conclusion. That's our text, brethren. God's reserved special blessings for only for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Another place, you know, when it rains, God doesn't say, "Oh, I think I'm just going to rain on those bad people." Mm-hmm. No, it rains on everybody, good and bad. So God has blessed a world of people, certainly, with sunshine and rain, with life itself. God's blessed you and me with talents, opportunity, ability. God certainly blessed. We are blessed people in our world. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, Moses reminded the people before they went into the land of Canaan. He thought, "Oh, you know, God's going to give you this land," and they're going to think, "Oh, I did it all by myself." So Moses reminds them, says, "Beware. Then you'll say in your heart, 'My power, the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.'" And then Moses says, "Oh, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Ooh, I didn't do it all by myself. Remember, you came into this world naked, you and I did. We're going out the same way. Between the time we came in and the time that we leave, God blesses us. It's not by my strength, my power. God's given you and me the breath that we have. He's given you and me the brains in our head. He has given you and me the talent, the ability, the opportunity to gain and get well. Don't you say, "Oh, I did it all by myself." You could have been born someplace else and not had the talent and ability you have right now. By the grace of God, we are in this situation. But now the lesson is, every spiritual blessing is located in Christ Jesus. Now that's in our text. You can start going reading down through the notes. You know, we've been chosen in Christ Jesus, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven. We have an inheritance. We have salvation, the Holy Spirit. And our other blessings would include, we've been added to the New Testament church. We're in the body of Christ. We have fellowship. We have hope. Eternal life. We have the armor of God. We have prayer. We have help in time of need. Reconciliation. Sanctification. Atonement. Regeneration. Justification. And we all address God as our Father in heaven. a world of people can call upon God, but they have to say, our God in heaven. But because we are children in Christ Jesus, we have a special blessing of saying, our Father in heaven. Understand the difference? We say our Father because we are a child of God. We have spiritual blessings. We are in Christ. And just as Jesus prayed in John 17, lift up his head and said, our Father in heaven. He taught his disciples to pray, our Father in heaven. A world of people says, our God. We've been blessed. We say, our Father. Our Father. Second, in verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, now we're chosen. It means that someone or God in this situation has decided to accept us from a group of possibilities. We're chosen. Think about the opposite of chosen. You ever have sports teams that say, oh, let's choose upsides. Well, it's just heartache. You don't want to be chosen. The opposite of chosen is to discard. If you're not chosen, I'm looking in the dictionary, one of the words, the dictionary definition of not chosen is jettison. You know, gone. You're not chosen. If you're not chosen. Rejected stamp on something that's not doesn't meet the qualifications, rejected. No, but in Christ Jesus, we're chosen. I like that. Count me in. We're chosen. It was the eternal purpose of God to choose us in Christ Jesus, that we should live a holy life. And then he adds the phrase along with the other verses, to be adopted as sons into the family. And that was according to God's good pleasure. He wants us when we are in Christ Jesus. You're selected. You're chosen. No, come on over. Chosen. Number 3, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Ah, God's grace is glorious. The glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So let's take that phrase, his grace. Mm-hmm. It's not by my works. Not by my brilliant ideas. No. It's God's loving favor, God's goodness, God's graciousness, that I'm accepted when I'm in the beloved, when I'm a Christian, when I'm on God's side, when I've heard his gracious message and have believed it and am baptized. He notes me as being accepted, chosen, eligible for all those spiritual blessings. The familiar verse, Ephesians 2, verse 8, by grace you've been saved. It's through faith, God's part. God's grace, my faith. Not of works. No. Mm-mm. Not of myself, ourselves. It's a gift of God. Otherwise, we'd boast. He made us accepted. In other words, if you are accepted or chosen, God has agreed to receive us. We are chosen. If we are accepted, it means God has agreed to take us, to have us, to hold us, all because we are in Christ Jesus. Another blessing. Number 4 is in verse 7. This one's the easiest one. Perhaps this is the one that moves more people to become Christian than any other. Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. If you've been redeemed, which we have, by the blood of Jesus, that's in the text, it means that we've been released from the penalty because a price has been paid. Jesus paid a price for us, for you and for me.
He died. He gave his blood for you and for me. And by being in him, by becoming a Christian, we are released from paying the penalty for our sins. He specifically mentions in him we have redemption. Redemption, I don't know, that's a fine religious word. What does that mean? He's writing the text. The forgiveness of sins. Well, I've heard people say, you know, I've sinned too many times for too long a time. And my sins are too horrible. God can't forgive me. Oh, yes, he can. And he will. When you are in Christ Jesus, forgiveness is located in a certain place for those who are in Christ. That's motivation. That's incentive. It should move us to become Christian and stay there. Then, number five, the list goes on. You're kind of piling up in this opening chapter the reasons and a reminder of these brethren why they made that decision to become a Christian. In verse 11, in him also we've obtained an inheritance. We know what an inheritance is. Well, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1, beginning of verse 3, just like Paul does in Ephesians chapter 1, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank you. God's worthy of blessing by us. Blessing. Who according to his abundant mercy, that's the action of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. So because God's rich in mercy and he's begotten us again to a lively hope and a living hope and an inheritance. And then he describes the inheritance. Peter does. Incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And then he'd define, you know who you are? You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Another blessing. By being in Christ Jesus, remember God's chosen us, accepted us, he has us, he holds us, he keeps us. An inheritance is ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, an inheritance too. We're getting better all the time. Number 6, verse 13. In him you also trusted. Well, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's right. My redemption, your redemption, our salvation, our trust. It's not in Muhammad, Allah, Buddha, self-realization, mediation or meditation. It's not in the Masonic Lodge, any civic organization. It's not in atheism. It's not through Dale Carnegie, Joseph Smith, works of merit, or any other way that I see fit. In him, you trust him. Who are you going to put your trust in for salvation? For all these spiritual blessings. Who will you go to for the forgiveness of sins? Where are you going to go? Who is there out there, past or present, or you may imagine a future, that you think, or someone thinks that they can go to get blessings like these that are listed? Just having it my own way? It says, in whom you trusted. You heard after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul even said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So once we hear, we put our trust in him, and my trust stays in him. Now, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. No one. So our trust in him, and none other. Last one, number 7, that I have listed, verses 13 and 14. In whom, Jesus, Also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, and there's other words that are listed for that, but who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. Glory. So by definition, because some of these words, again, to those who do not have a religious background, saying, I don't understand those words. But if we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that word sealed shows ownership. It has reference to an ancient practice of sealing a document with a, well, like the king's ring, with a, that they would press into the wax, sealing a document. When that clapped over, you put the wax there, and the king would put his seal on that. And that's an official document. And so Paul is saying here, you know, when you receive that Holy Spirit of promise, God put his seal on you and on me. Similar might be to a brand in our Western world. Shows ownership. Now, we've been sealed. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that? Who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. That's an interesting phrase. I'm not my own anymore. We've been bought with a price and given that seal. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we are in Christ, we have all of these blessings that we have listed here. And God says, now, he said, you know what, I've given you my spirit as that earnest, that pledge, that down payment, that promise that what I have said I will do, I will perform. I've put my seal on it. And the other word is guarantee. King James used the word earnest. You know, that's a commercial term describing a partial payment, a deposit or a pledge, meaning that the full payment will be made, to show that he'll complete the transaction. So God has, when we become a Christian, when we are baptized, God gives us his spirit as a pledge, a promise, a seal, a guarantee that he'll give us the inheritance that he's promised. And then I put closing in your notes. Remember, these spiritual blessings are only found in Christ Jesus. Lord willing, I may just go on to chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Ephesians. Just read those over and over again. They just abound with the blessings that God gives us when we're Christians, when we're in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 is going to deal with those who are out and the blessings of being in again. The list goes on. The piling up of the good things. And you just can't overlook that. Chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Ephesians. You can read them in just a matter of minutes. But it gives you hope, inspiration, motivation, not only to become Christian, but to stay. To stand. And to withstand anything that the world and Satan's going to throw up against us. Blessings of being in Christ. That's encouraging. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. Like these people in Ephesus. When Paul met them, he said, oh, you're disciples. But, oh, they're John's disciples. So let me give you more information. So when they heard, then they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they received these blessings we want for all of us. If you're not done already, you need to be baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. You simply need to let your request be known anytime, day or night during the week. It doesn't have to be right now, but I'm urging you right now. While we're here, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. So let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.